Welcome back to Linux Weekly Daily Wednesdays, where we can sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things we found going on in the world of Linux and open source. I'm Vin Stone, joined every week by Jill Bryant and Pedro Mateus, and you at home.
Hello, hello.
Watching us live, man. Big week, busy week, all kind of week. It's no longer my favorite four-week block of the year. October is over. I'm a little bit sad about that. But, hey, I had some great deals on house decorations. Which, you know, pretty happy about. Listen, have no illusions, kids. 90% of my house looks like regular house, but that last 10% looks exactly what you would envision my house looks like. So, there is that. What's everyone been up to? Pedro, you've been playing a game, man, in like Discord. You've been posting pictures of what I can only assume is Minecraft with wheels.
Yeah, without the digging. You just put some towers, some resource extractors down to do the digging for you. But now, thanks to a certain mere PPC, you may know him as Patrick, decided, you know what? I'm just going to mention that the developers of Windward have actually created, or the developer, I should say, have actually created another game in preparation for Windward 2, which is Project 5 Sightseer. And 10 hours of my life have already been taken away because Project Sightseer is basically Windward, but land-based. And there's a lot of just exploration, meandering about without an objective. It's the kind of games that Ven wouldn't like. But it is, it's very much my cup of chainsaw, so to speak. Also, the other thing that I started playing around with some more was the Pinebook, completely nondescript black laptop. Yeah. It's once I managed to get it in my head, it's not an x86 laptop. Treating it like one.
How long have you had that?
A couple of months.
As you were.
So yeah, once I finally stopped, it actually okay. It's an ARM notebook. Let's just see what we can do. It actually got a bunch of open source game engine re-implementations up and running, and they work really well. Being able to play Diablo at 1080p on the PineBook Pro, it's really nice. Also, got another soldering kit. It's got teeny tiny little LED screens. So yeah, once I'm done soldering the LEDs to the little hourglass one. This one comes next. It comes with a buzzer. It has a buzzer.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to be interesting to see how Nori decides to force feed it to you. What's up with you, Jill?
Oh, boy. I have a lot going on. The big news is now I am hosting the Destination Linux video podcast each week with Noah Chalaya, Michael Tennell, and Ryan Dosgeek. And it was really an honor to be asked. And nice. The announcement goes out today. And of course, LGC is my first love, and you can always find me here. But if you want to hear more, then check out my journey on Destination Linux. So exciting.
Man, we were talking. I got a couple things going on. A couple things we were talking about in the pre-show. I've got a new access point for you in the studio. And of course, it's a Microtik. And Microtik's like, hey, man, do you know what we need in a basic plain access point? I'm like, what's that, Microtik? RouteOS, you know, half a gig of RAM, 64-bit ARM. I'm like, but it's an access point, Microtik. It's like, you will learn unnecessary things to set this, which I will. I look forward to it later this week. That's the thing. That's going to go down. But we were talking about just, we can understand like podcasting as a whole, at least for me, maybe I'm alone in this. It's my generation's pirate radio. It is, you know, we don't, if you grew up, if you were an 80s baby, maybe there was a chance you could set up a transmitter and people were listening to the thing called radio. Now, yeah. You know, it's a chance, you know, doing a podcast today, it's a chance not to have the FCC or your local, you know, the Biebs breathing down like, you can have these four channels and obey. You can be a little bit strange. You don't have to fit into a mold. You don't have to be an amalgam that's like an automaton. Like, everything's homogenized and great. We are all separate individuals. Have some life. Mm-hmm. Have some fun. get out there and live a little. Well, then, but you know, I just say that as a suggestion to anybody doing podcasting, man. Don't fall into the trap of like, we need no. Okay, I'm not hating on anybody, but don't get to where you're just so advertiser friendly, you're putting people to sleep. Maybe.
I can think of a few examples.
Like Pedro's latest show, putting people to sleep.
Put people to sleep with Pedro. Yes, I love the alliteration. I know,
maybe it's just like the rebel in me. When I started doing all this, I was like, we're just going to be ourselves. We're just going to 100% to our detriment. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we can't be caricatures. So, or, you know, it just that doesn't sit well with me and a lot of other people. But maybe think about that, you know. Yes, you got to be able to pay for yourself and, you know, getting ads and all that fun stuff. That's fun. But I think this probably affects more, like, you. I think it's more obvious with YouTubers right now, isn't it?
There's a lot of homogenization, especially like the mid-tier of influencers, not just on YouTube, but like Instagram is a big one nowadays. There's a lot of the same.
Hey, you know what? Let's just up our thumbnail game on YouTube.
You have to put more red arrows.
We're going to do red arrows and we're going to give you like 9 headaches.
All the hands.
Exactly. Temple. Head. All right. Come on. Let's jump right into our exciting. I don't know. It's not exciting, but I thought we'd want to.
X is dead.
X gonna give it to you, baby. This was like jumped around last week on the internet, and Adam. Adam's kind of been keeping X-Org alive, everything together, up to date. And he's like, let's talk about abandoning the X server. And just to get right into it, you know, he's just like, there's been some recent discussion about whether the X server is abandoned where, as the person arguably most responsible for its care and feeding over the last 15 years or so, I feel like he has something to say. Basically, this is a big, chunky paragraph that boils down to, here's where he's at right now. Not really broke, don't fix. Man of my own heart. Mm-hmm. But bug fixes, keep it maintained, and allow X to be what it will be just 10 years for Wayland is a great compatibility layer. Does that sound too crazy, man? Because, you know.
It doesn't sound crazy at all.
I feel like right now it's in maintenance mode, and that's fine. It
works.
It works fine. I don't have a problem with it. And we do all of this on Linux, and Wayland's got a long way to go before we're doing this with Wayland. Don't stress about it.
It's going to be around for a while.
X isn't going anywhere anytime soon, mostly because Wayland isn't going anywhere anytime soon either, unfortunately. And now that we have one of, if not the major dev for X, saying that maybe it's, you know, time to start thinking about something else because X has kind of peaked and it can't really go anywhere from now, can we get Wayland going? Please.
Pedro, are you coming at it from like, this is your final warning?
No, it's not the final warning because I've been using Linux long enough to know that, you know, XFCE is still around, so. It's just, if the moment we have someone with that kind of credentials and, like he says, he's been caring and feeding X for the past 15 years, can we please just get on with Wayland? NVIDIA, please.
Pedro, do you know what happens if you feed an X server after midnight and get it wet?
It lets me play video games on Linux?
No. Come on, that was a funny joke. It was too easy to make.
Yay. So Wayland, the final frontier. Yeah, that's what we're all waiting for. But it's going to be a bit before that's baked. So I, like Pedro says, I don't think we have any have to be worried about Exor going anywhere. And, you know, I'm just starting. Yeah, it's been around for years. I've been using it since.
I think that wacky upstart X has got it's got some legs, Jill. It's got,
yes, it does. X386. You remember installing Slackware disk with X386?
And he even mentions Zephyr. It's like, okay, so you work on Zephyr too. Cool. Zephyr is really good if you're trying to run applications and games that only work in 16 bits of color, which if you've tried that in Wine under Linux, it goes, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, just have something like Zephyr, but for everything that X currently does. That's all we need. But Wayland needs to be at the point that it can do everything else.
Well, maybe you're right, Pedro. This is going to be the right motivation. I can say, like, no hyperbole or anything. I cannot do this show the way we're doing it right now with Wayland.
Mm. Yeah.
The tools just don't exist. So best of luck. And don't worry, you know, X is still going to give it to you. But, oh, yay. Let's talk about Snap. Everyone loves it when we talk about Snap, and they're like, oh, great, let's go get some fun. This is going to be nice, man, because this is from the Ubuntu blog, the fine cannibals over at Canonical. They're like, let's talk about Snap and speed improvements with new compression algorithms. Jill, it looks like they've switched the LZO and the XZ.
Yes. Yeah, so LZO is a much better compression option than XZ for Snaps. LZO, as some of you may know, is called the Lempel-Ziv-Oberhummer compression. And it's larger, the compression is the file is a larger size, but decompresses a lot quicker, resulting in a faster snap boot up times. And this LZO compression and LZW have been around for a while. I used to use them on large animation projects back in the 90s. And they're just really fast at decompressing when you want to retrieve those files fast. So this is a really good move by Snapcraft.
Yeah, that bit that Ven was highlighting, if you were watching in the video version, Pedro, that's exactly the bit that I want to call shenanigans on.
Why?
Admittedly, they were using Fedora, so maybe they didn't know entirely what they were doing. But there's no way that Snap, either version of it, is faster than a native install of anything on a hard drive. Because the way that Snaps work is before the thing, you know, the application that you're trying to run, it needs to be uncompressed. It needs to be mounted in a sort of RAM disk. Well, it is effectively a RAM disk. And then it boots from there. So it has to go from the hard drive to the RAM disk, and then it shows up. While in the hard drive, if you're just running the native version, it just goes from the hard drive to RAM. There. No decompression necessary because it's all there. It's just a copy. So there, unless they had something running in the background, that, hence my comment that they didn't know what they were doing, that they weren't aware of, there's no way. There's just no way. So, nice try. All of the other benchmarks, yeah, those are about what I would expect if you're changing from
so
one compression
you
algorithm
calling
to another
shenanigans
one.
On the 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling shenanigans on Snaps being faster than native, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because as they spent the entire rest of the article basically proving what I've been saying for the longest time, exactly right, that makes two. It's the GNOME project and Snaps now. That's the one point I call shenanigans on. Everything else, yeah, no, I'm okay with.
So you're saying it's not a good thing that Snaps are getting faster?
I'm sure it's a great thing if you use Snaps.
Personally, yeah. I believe that they've made it so fast that you can't even fathom. You can't, your simple mind can't comprehend the new speed of Snaps.
Oh, aww. So they're quantum Snaps now?
You can have that one for free, Canonical. Quantum snaps, baby. I don't know, man. I want to say good on them. You got to try it again. This goes back to, you know, things like the Ubuntu phone mirror stuff and like Snap. I understand, like, hey, one of these days we're going to find a problem that containerization on the desktop solves. But
they will create that problem if they have to, because at this rate, it's not happening.
They're still trying. Here's my whole thing.
They're trying.
I want to be wrong. I want somebody to roll out and be like, okay, you know, again, I think we're all in agreement that, you know, on server, headless, perfect sense. Data center, perfect sense. VMs, perfect sense. Desktop, you still got some splitting to do on that. But here's what I want to know. I want to get a hold to somebody who works with Snaps. A, just to like explain a lot of this. Also, it would make me very happy if you would come on the show and prove Pedro wrong, because that would make me happier than anything else.
Yeah, no, do it live in front of me. I want to see it. I will eat all the crow, but I want to see it.
We're talking about compression, which leads me to think, if we're dealing with like desktop applications, and correct me if I'm right, this is 2020, correct?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why are they compressed in the first place?
It's raisins.
Is that not a valid question for like desktops? Like, if you want it to speed up, quit compressing it? Maybe? Question mark. I don't
know. Which is
like,
why I call shenanigans, because a native install isn't.
Speaking from just a place of pure ignorance, maybe they all need to be compressed for like reasons or I. Inform me. I look forward. Send us some feedback. That'd be kind of great. Good news, everyone.
Yeah, so this is really exciting in the RISC-V world. The Sci-Fi High-Five Unmatched Board, development board for testing Linux software and hardware.
I'm just going to be that guy. That heatsink needs a fan. It's too tall.
Oh, it is very tall. board has been released for the open RISC-V architecture. And actually, it's only, and this seems like a lot, but it's actually inexpensive for a development board at only $665. It is
too
definitely
much.
A cheaper option, but it is a lot cheaper, Pedro, than the previous development boards we've talked about that were thousands of dollars that were RISC-V. And but what's nice is this one comes with all the usual PC connections and ports in a mini ITX form factor, which is wonderful. So Ben had a lot of details and specs to say about it.
I do. Somebody needs to Bing suggest Quantum Snaps, though.
They already did.
Okay, good on you.
Arthur and already did.
You're brilliant. I love you. So, yeah, man, let's talk about the specs of this thing, because you're going to be getting 8 gigs DDR4, 32 megs quad SPI flash on board. The SoC is going to be the U740. And these are the same people. These are the people that, like, hey, we can bring you out of order RISC-V, which is like, oh, neat. They know what they're doing. 4 USB 3 ports, 1x16 PC. IE hole, man, that's going to be Gen 3. M-keyed, M.2, so you got one for the Wi-Fi's and you got one for storage. That's brilliant. Now, to the point, I think Pedro might... I mean, these are not Raspberry Pi level Tinker boards. These are not for the consumers. This is not for the home market. They're not fleshed out. There's barely an ecosystem for these things, you know, and outside of like their Linux ISO. What do you have? You have something they call Freedom Studio. I went and looked at it. It's basically Eclipse, you know, IDE. They got a GCC toolchain, so you can build some stuff. And the Freedom USDK, whatever that is, and a smattering of like lower RISC-V tools. For $600 for a development board for something like, oh, here, this is for your enterprise, go prototype on this thing. Yes, we know the heat sink's a little tall. Vin already brought it up, but you're going to have to live with it. That's what it says in the manual, it should say. Probably don't even get a manual with this, man. There's like here.
No.
Probably not. There's like there's a PDF in this link hidden in this thread. So go ahead.
Right. Dude. But you know, the U740, you know. All right, I get it.
Again, I do.
ITX form factor too, which is kind of
yes.
Yeah.
ITX Wonderful. Is nice. There was that micro ATX before, which also very expensive. It's like $1,400 for that micro ATX one.
Yes.
It took me a long time to convince myself to get my hands on this Pinebook Pro, and that was only £200. $665. No. No.
I don't think it's meant for you.
Clearly. Not at that price it is.
I would like one to play with just to see what I can do with it. Like audio side, but I'd be deep into like how good is the tool chain for getting everything built, and I don't know, that's probably a time vampire.
Right now you're developing the tool chain.
Yeah. Like, I remember doing this. So maybe not. Maybe you want something that's a little more, I don't know, x86-y in your life.
Yeah. So this is the Libre Mini version 2 is actually now available. And it has a much faster 4-core i7 processor at 4.9 gigahertz. And it's actually the same price point as the original Libre Mini. So what's really nice is if you would like my idea is if you would like an Intel Nook, but want open firmware, such as Core Boot or Pure Boot, and a Linux OS already installed, then buy a Libre Mini instead of a Nook.
A nice, a really tight sweet little machine. Box that can hit 4.9 gigahertz on one core for half a nanosecond on Tuesdays after 3 p.m.
Yeah, it's Come a Nook. On. It's not, with, yeah. You know, Core Boot or what's the other one?
Extra Core Boot? I don't know.
Pure Boot.
Pure Boot.
Pure Boot. Yeah. Boot.
Pure, Pure OS. Pure Boot. Yeah. But yeah, no, it the idea behind it is nice. It's like you have a completely free Nook, free in the free software sense. Yeah, that's what Librem does. And having a admittedly GIMPed, not the not the image manipulator, but a reduced functionality version of a desktop PC. I guess it's a start for if they want to have like a full-on mini ATX or micro ATX size desktop PC that you can then populate with the Intel graphics card that's totally coming out next year, you guys.
Use the Nook for what you're going to Nook. And I mean, Nook's going to Nook. Also, $700 for a Nook, not a bad price.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I looked for like these two boxes on the site here. These are old Dell 3010s, and I really wanted to like have like a nice little stack of Nooks for like multiple boxes, but I could buy five of these Dells for the price of like one outfitted Nook. So it's a good price.
Yeah,
good
for the complete system because they come as bare bones units. So. And,
yeah, except this one does come with 64 gigs of RAM. It already comes with what you need.
It comes with RAM and the processor. Yeah. Do you have to provide the storage? That's the one thing I couldn't see.
Storage is, okay, memory at $699.
Yeah, you do have to add that.
You're going to get 8 gigs, not 16 or 32, and you're going to get 250 gig SATA storage.
Okay, so. It comes with the SATA SSD. All right, that's cool. All right.
And a power block. Mm-hmm. Now, how much would you pay?
Yeah. Yeah, no, if it's a complete system for $700 for a Nook, yeah, okay, I've seen much more expensive than that.
Yeah, that's what I was impressed. It was an all-in-one system.
It's a decent price, especially since it's thrown in the power plug. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Which, I'm joking about this, everyone, but if we scroll down to the bottom, the first thing is like, related. Wait a minute, that better come
with $60.
And it does. It does. I had to go do some searching because I was going to talk some smack if they didn't throw in the power cord. Yeah. But they did. Good on you, lot. Good on you, lot. Pine Communicator. Pine Phone. Who was it in Discord got his Pine Phone earlier this week?
Katana Steel got his. Artherin already had his. Sandy already had Sand his man. As well.
Yeah.
And they're playing around with it. And the, you know, it's a cheap device, right? They're And I say cheap, I was like, you can just pick one up to play with. I'm like, $100?
Something like that? Yeah, the 150, I think, for the Pine phone. It's 100 for the tablet, mm-hmm. because it doesn't have the 3G module.
Right on.
And yeah.
Well, you're looking at that piece of kit, and it can make the calls, and you can run, I mean, there's a billion distributions of Linux that you can run on it currently, and well, maybe, just maybe, you don't need all that functionality. And by all that functionality, what am I talking about? I'm talking about just taking the modem out, man, just making it a communicator, man, because how many times have you been out and about or just at the house and like your media consumption brick rings? You're like, what is this? Huh? You can do that. Right. Fair enough. And they're going to pull that out, but they want some feedback. And what am I talking about? Just get to the point, Ben. I'm talking about the Pinecom, which, you know, all this is going to be in our show notes, so you can go take a look, give them some feedback. They are thinking about basically making a Pinephone minus the modem to, you know, the only thing I'm seeing in here is, you know, will not feature a USB-C alt mode video output. Okay. Will be smaller than a 5-inch LCD panel or less. It's going to rely on Wi-Fi. Okay. Here's where I'm at with this. Basically, what you're describing is a media consumption device that doesn't have video out, and you want to make it smaller than 5 inches for the view screen. That's cute.
Yeah, I totally agree with Vin. It needs a bigger screen. And the Pine phone has a 5.95-inch screen, and the Pine tablets have 10-inch screens. So how about the Pinecom be, say, 7 or 8 inches? That's
53.
My idea. So you have an in-between. So you have an in-between.
You see that wall? Yeah, that's right. My Pinecom.
And, you know, currently, my OnePlus One, my
here's the catch.
Trusty.
Here's the catch. It's 53 inches, 720p.
53, 720.
Ew. At least 1080p, so you can have the Retina like 2x scaling.
Pedro, yeah. I just knocked it down to 480i. Keep going.
What about 360, Vin, or 240? So recently, I just moved from my OnePlus One to a newer OnePlus phone, and I'm planning to use my OnePlus One as a Wi-Fi tablet around the house. So I really think that the Pine phone should, you know, should consider keeping some of the phone functionality, since such as the GPS in it. So you can use it like a phone around the house without a modem. So yeah, media consumption bias, but it's live somewhere in between phone size and tablet size.
Yeah, we could call it a tablet. Wait, maybe we said that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine just consuming all my media on a screen about yay big. No. No.
Well, you could type on it. Yeah. You could write novels.
Doesn't have a keyboard. Yeah. Last week, I questioned. I didn't question. I basically implied that teeny tiny little 5-megapixel camera module was basically e-waste. And once again, here I am questioning the usefulness of something made by Pine 64, or in this case, they haven't made it yet. They're just asking for opinions. Please tell them that no. The Pine phone works for what it is. Right now, it's a Tinker toy, but you remove the modem 3G LTE thing. Why? Okay, you get Laura and Laura Wan going, so you can have.
Listen, Pedro.
You know, privacy focused walkie talkie.
Pedro Mateus. Listen. We get a pretty big run of these Pine phones with bad modems, okay?
I get it. I do. But again, e-waste.
No, I don't know. I mean, I like everything about it, but it genuinely becomes a media consumption device. And let's be perfectly honest. Most people, you don't use it to make calls, but you need that modem functionality so you can go out and about.
So you can have the internet on the go, yeah.
Yeah, so you can go to like large concerts and movie theaters and
make payments with the the thing that it doesn't have, NFC.
I don't know. Best luck. Go give them some feedback. That's why they open up stuff like this, which is a smart thing to do. And don't worry. anything that Pedro's still trying to figure out, that what is Pine Books for? So
I think I have now.
He spent the last, all of last month wearing it as a hat. All right. Just keep that in mind.
It was a cushion. Admittedly, it's a bit thin, but it was a nice cushion. Sturdy.
At the end of the day, Nori, you won. I'll send you your 10 quid. Okay. Let's go to plasma system monitoring, man. As much as I like to rag on people who like the blinky gooey stuff, Pedro, you will always come out and champion. I'm like, blinky gooey forever. Why do I have a memory leak?
Someone has to, because both you and Jordan were very clearly against it. So I'll be the one to like the blinky stuff and the nice pretty GUIs. So yeah, Plasma System Monitor has a new preview that's been released. You can see what the up and coming stable version will probably look like. They do say that this is very much still a work in progress. It may be subject to change, not limited to just the big overview tab, but also the individual ones that give you all the circle graphs and everything else. And it reminded me a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember if it was the pre-show or the after show, that I showed a screenshot of the current version of the plasma system monitor on Discord, and Van was absolutely flabbergasted. And I'm pretty sure that someone from the KD development community was listening, at least, and decided, you know what, let's go do something. That, or it's a continuation of their effort to quote-unquote modernize
do you see this
appearance
point in
of
the CPU history where the rainbow goes up to 800? Do you know what that was?
I can't say it this Wednesday.
No, you can. But I'll tell you what it was. He or she downloaded a Steam game.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, that'll do it. That decompression, as it happens, takes up a lot of CPU resources. But yeah, big thanks to Artherin for bringing this to our attention. And I honestly don't mind the new look at all. It looks very good. And you can set up new pages. You can customize basically what you want to see in your system monitor, which is nice. It is actually very nice. But I also look forward. This is where we get into sarcasm town. I look forward to the spectacular ways that this new and improved system monitor will break, and will break the rest of the system around
it. Listen, it might leak a few gigabytes memory, but
it might take up all of your swap until the system goes, oh, wait a second, that's using too much RAM.
Might crash plasma?
Nope.
That's unheard of.
You can't do that because plasma get jelly.
When is this the
for my ivory XFCE 412 tower?
No, K-Win is the worst, and now I have System D. Basically, I set it up to the moment it starts using anywhere above 2 gigabytes of RAM, it just goes dead.
Well, Pedro, do you know one of my favorite things about Linux distributions are?
What's that?
Giving them nigh unpronounceable names.
This one is pronounceable. It's Dahlia.
Yeah.
Dahlia OS.
Set somebody up for a joke. Boom.
Crushed. But in any case, this is Dahlia OS. This is technically doesn't really qualify as a Linux distribution. It does make use of Linux. And the other thing is Fuchsia, which you may remember as that operating system that Google is currently working on.
Developed by a kitty cat.
Yes, there's a kitty cat and a hipster. I'm not sorry. but yeah, no, they have a website. It's dahliaos.io. And I read through the things, and I read through the latest release, and they were saying, oh yeah, it's 85 megabytes. It doesn't support Wi-Fi. The current version doesn't support EFI, but if you download the older version, they did get EFI working on that. So let's roll
it
back
just a hair. Fuchsia, that's that thing Google's working on, right? It's totes not that, Android OS, right? Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, I think that the general consensus on the internet was that it would replace Android at some point. Not there yet. Most definitely not there yet. And there's some performance issues with the desktop environment because it's trying to do certain things that don't really work yet. So I guess it's a proof of concept and using, you know, not having a kernel to run the rest of the Fuchsia tool chain is probably a good thing that they decided to use Linux. Although at this point, what's the point? Because I thought that the whole point of Fuchsia was to get away from Linux. It was Google's attempt to just like, okay, we did the Android, we did the Chrome OS, can we do our own thing now, please?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they're supposed to have two different builds. The Fuchsia OS kernel, which is the Zircon kernel, and the Linux kernel one. So they're developing in both areas. And yeah, that's a good thing, especially for, you know, helping Google out with making their new OS for the phones. So I guess this is how it's starting.
I think it's going to happen first. Let's be honest. Will we be able to buy a Google device running Fuchsia 100%, right? Or will I be doing all of this production under Wayland first? Which one's going to happen?
Fuchsia.
Yeah, I think that's coming sooner.
So, like 9 years.
No, Fuchsia will be dead. Google will have deprecated Fuchsia before Wayland becomes a thing.
Yeah. Well, we go.
That's too easy, though. Google's going to do that for fun now. Google kills projects for lols these days, man. They're like, too many people use it.
I know that was a bit of a low-hanging fruit, but yeah. That will happen.
I don't think that's a good transition from low-hanging fruit, but hey, if you like what we do, you want to kick us a buck a week or even more, that'd be kind of brilliant. That's how we finance everything. No big bad ad breaks on mattress. We need to do a mattress ad one day, though. We need to see what we can do with the mattress ad. Patreon.com/LinuxGamecast. Hop in there. Get access to our Discord. Get access to our show notes. Become a sea monster with our tree fitty. We got levels for days, executive producers. Chicago even does a thing. You can even hop on the show. We do appreciate that. That allows us to basically do this, do our nonsense, do our version of YAR, pirate internet radio. So we're not homogenized and automatons. And Pedro is, I don't know. See, if we had to do that, Pedro would start like making, I don't know. Could you work under those conditions?
Oh, I could. I would find a way to drop a little bit of snark here and there, but I probably couldn't go as far as I have today.
If you like that nonsense, we get shirts, we get stickers. Look at that. That's a sticker. That's a sticker from our own store, covering up a naughty word with a slightly less naughtier word, because, hey, it's me. What are you going to get? store.linuxgamecast.com if you want to wear our shirts. If you want to see what they look like, go watch past episodes, because anytime I need like an extra $20, I just put a new shirt out, Joe will buy it. And
but if you want to wear our shorts, you'll have to wait a little bit longer.
No shorts were harmed. I think we keep getting, it's like a list of new products that I don't know, like, if you got something, I might be doing some beanies for wintertime, and we're going to be doing our yearly Hail Santa t-shirt.
Nice. But
yeah, that's it. Keep being awesome. Thanks. And come say hi in Discord. That's one thing that, like, trips me out, because I always pop in. We have live IRC completely free. That's always there. And that's bridge to our Discord if you want to chat. One thing about our Discord that always surprised me, well, we have good conversation going on there. But the fact that we have conversation, because we have like, what, like 86 to 100, whatever, people in Discord, you know, people rolling in and out and all that fun stuff. Then you go to like these massive, like just open Discords, silent. Thousand people in it, nothing.
Yeah, yes. It's the discords of that really famous YouTuber or really famous community person. That was really funny, whatever it was. You go in and it's like, that one person is not here, so everyone's quiet.
There's something, I don't know. Fair warning, we do have conversations.
What's the point?
Sometimes it does become like Full Metal IRC and we'll have an idol off, but.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like entire hours of nothing happening. It's like, really? That was the last? Okay.
Then every now and then the conversation breaks out. Yeah, exactly. Paige is a perfect example. It's like, no one's talking, nor shall I.
Yes. Because I like to jump in the middle and antagonize people to keep the conversation going.
It is brilliant. We get people like Darkwing, Arthur, and Daisy, and the rest of the
Foxy.
Game.
It's always good to see when Foxy goes to sleep and when Foxy comes back. Sometimes there's still a conversation going.
And Matthew will wake up and be angry at something for a few minutes until he tuckers his little self out. Then he'll go on about his day. It's adorable.
And my Steve husband gets in there and enjoys talking with everyone about what he's working
Steve's
on.
He's just come to terms that this is a social circle at this point in his life. It's too late. He can't make any major life changes at this point. He's like, all right, fine. I'll roll with it.
But I do want to thank Linux Gunaroo.
What do we got?
Yeah. Linux Gunaroo gifted me the first person Escher-like puzzler game from Steam called Manifold Garden. And I had played the demo of it and loved it. And I've been following the progress of that game for several years and I've been wanting it. So thank you so much, Linux Gunaroo. That's going to be a special game and I can't wait to really get into it. Thank you.
Now we're going to do a slice of pie.
The lowest hanging fruit.
We got to talk about this because the internet's like, oh my God, there's
Is huge, everyone. So this is the Raspberry Pi 400. It's a $70 desktop PC that has been released and it is pre-built inside, the Raspberry Pi keyboard.
Did you just see that, like, three shot of lies?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
We can start from there. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come from right here because this doesn't. Here we go. Hang on. Lie one, lie two, and lie three because none of that happens unless. Step one is like, someone give me a blade. Okay. All right. We've sufficiently opened that up.
Like a paperclip, unfolded paperclip under the wire where the camera doesn't see it.
Yeah,
I'll leave it then.
I'm just saying, have you ever like plugged a micro mini or USB, anything? I'm saying
it
this
happen.
In your favor. They were extremely tight. Also, that's not going to happen is what I'm saying. So, as you were.
So they were joking about the video connection.
They're not
video
joking. They're just
connection.
Like, oh, let's make a video. And I'm just calling BS on what's BS.
Okay. So the keyboard has on the back of it the GPIO pins we all have grown to love from the Raspberry Pi, three USB slots, SD slot, Ethernet, and two micro HDMI ports. And I think this is really brilliant because it harkens back to the vintage days of the Commodore 64, the Amiga, the Apple IIs, when you used to just, you know, they were computers in a keyboard and you just plugged them into your TV. And so that's what the Raspberry Pi Foundation is going for here. And they're hoping that this will be a big Christmas gift coming up for this season. And I already know it is because they also make a kit, $100 Raspberry Pi 400 personal computer kit, and it was sold out Monday morning as soon as this announcement was made.
Hey,
so here in the US.
I genuinely I'm looking forward to another product being out of stock on the Raspberry store.
Yes.
What? It can't just be the Pi 0W. Come on.
Well, listen, Pedro, what do you mean? We've only been doing this for like 8 years. We don't know what demand is going to be for a product.
We've never seen it happen.
No.
No.
Even though I do like that Pedro was like, I could walk over to the store and get one.
Not during these troubled times.
Is it not open?
Lockdown.
Yeah.
They don't have curbside pie.
No, unfortunately. And it's that entire shopping center that's closed, so no, can't go inside.
Yeah. So the kit is really awesome because it comes with the official Raspberry Pi mouse and a charger and the SD card with Raspberry Pi OS on it and HDMI cable. So it comes with everything you need to just plug it into a monitor or a TV, if you will, just get a little converter for the HDMI.
And it is CRT. The fastest thing they have right there. Because it's CRT. A new revision of the 2711 SoC, because this thing's clocking in at 1.8 gigajoules. Why? How could it do that? Well, I watched a teardown and there's a big chunky metal plate. It's kind of acting like, I guess, is an RF shield. Well, like this little tiny piece of thermal goop pad like stuck just to the CPU, and I'm like, that'll do it. That's how you hit 1.8, kids. I think like at least half of the internet, and I was like, oh, so this is the 4 gig version, implying exactly what I'm implying. I'll wait until the 8 gig comes out.
Yes,
because it will. Hipster form factor, gotta approve of that. I did have the pleasure of seeing some people online, and by that I mean Reddit, complaining that it lacked a mechanical keyboard.
Yes, that would be something someone would complain about. Like, well, I'm sure you can modify them if you want to.
Your argument, yeah.
It's useless. It doesn't click and make noise. It doesn't even blink.
Just get a Raspberry Pi 4 and put it in a mechanical keyboard. That'll solve that problem.
So what do we have at the end of the day, man? We have a modern ZX Speccy. That's it, man. All I want to do is... I promised I've always made it through 2020 without violating any temporal accords. But maybe for a little YOLO is I want to grab one of these and mail it to Apple and send it to Apple in 1980. Just see what they come up with.
They would have never got x86. Well, never.
You got to think about like, well, this is when you compare it to like the original like Apple all-in-wonder kit that you could buy. That thing was $666.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This.
$100. It's $100 for the full thing with the mouse, the
charger,
the power supply,
HDMI cable.
Basically, this is exactly what I wanted to do when I bought the original a Pi keyboard. Was exactly to do something like this, put a Raspberry Pi in there, and then the moment the Pi keyboard got here, Nori looked at it, it's like, fine, you can have it there. So that got put on hold for a little bit, but now if it comes with the Raspberry Pi, and it is, I saw that probably that same teardown, the PCB, I can see a lot of people buying this, just ditching the keyboard altogether and taking that very long PCB and putting it to use because of how all the ports are distributed and how much, you know, thinner it is, because you're basically just limited by the height of the Ethernet, which is actually less than the USBs.
Like, that form factor would fit like really nice, like on a Cricut bat, wouldn't it?
Cricket bat, the back of a TV. Yeah.
I like it. It's definitely priced to sell. Maybe by this time next year, you'll be able to get one. Unless you're on preparing to pay $250, $300 or whatever you're going to be paying on the eBays.
Scalp.
That's unfortunate. That's very, very unfortunate, but that's going to definitely be a thing. And they are going to be making the Pi 400 until... guaranteed 2026.
Okay, so you got plenty of time.
Yeah. I think the first thing I would have to do with it is super hot glue some weights in it, because that looks exceedingly light, because there's nothing more entertaining than plugging in the HDMI cable than having the HDMI cable lifted into midair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. There are something slightly more entertaining than that, but don't get your hopes up. Hey, Android 11 has come to the Pi 4.
It has. Not by official means yet.
Hey.
This is a third-party ROM, which is available. It was developed by Max Weninger, however you want to say it. It's Android 11. It's based on the OmniROM, and you can load it up on the Raspberry Pi 4. There are some caveats at this point. You're stuck in tablet mode, so some applications that will try and force phone mode back on, you've seen those, it's the ones that only work in vertical orientation, those will freak out very, very quickly. And it would be nice, because it's Android 11,
that's so... That's better than, you know, freaking desktop. Out, like, very slowly. Like,
yes. It's still a Pi 4. It's not going to be very, very fast.
It's very methodical, but it's freaking out.
Very deliberate.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is... I would like to see, because it is Android 11, so I would very much like to see desktop mode. That would be really nice.
Mm. Yeah.
But yes. No, the tablet mode is all you're getting.
Well, you know, tablet mode will have the benefit of being usable.
Yes.
That's the thing which that would give it a mention. Another thing, I got this up, if you're a patron, you know what I'm talking about, so excuse everything. Mm-hmm. But for public consumption, so we don't really like doing paywalls, but the video for the Raspberry Pi Zero SSH and Wi-Fi without a keyboard, I really should call this a silly Raspberry Pi trick, because that's what it is. But you may need this.
Wi-Fi one, hacks.
One day this information might save your life. But yeah, this is just like, I'm impatient. You know, I ordered the Pi Zero and I was sitting there, I was looking at it and it was looking back at me, because that's what it does. Those crazy little googly eyes. And I'm like, why'd they put those on it? That doesn't make any sense. But I didn't have the adapter for the micro USB to USB. So I was like, oh man, I guess I got to order one of those. That effectively put my brain into, you got 48 hours because Amazon 2 days to order. Before that gets there, can you get into it? Like, I bet I can. I could. So it's how to get your Wi-Fi credentials and all that loaded onto it strictly through the micro SD card, so you can boot it running Raspbian OS or, you know, the Debian distro, and it'll hook up to your Wi-Fis and you can SSH into it and go, oh boy, this is slow. I forgot how the single cores used to run, because you think back to you forget how slow the original Pi was, and that's effectively what this little critter is. But it does work. Also, what is it? The other one I did. That's also out. I don't know if we mentioned that last week. If you want to make a webcam, I got you covered, man. You can finally see the difference in quality. Look at me.
And you can see Ven do the shimmy shammy.
That's, Jill thinks that's dancing, which is more entertaining than anything else in the world. But yeah.
Man, that Logitech webcam. I did not remember it looking that.
Dude, here's the thing. Here's the thing I had to say about that. I'm like, okay, upper left-hand corner, I give you the reveal. You know what? Go watch it yourself. Ha, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, even though it's in the video. But that's a Vixia. That is the Pi HQ webcam, the 12 megapixel. That's a Logitech C510, or as I even called him, like, that's a Logitech that I found in a drawer, which I genuinely did. And then, of course, the camera that I'm using right now, which is an Nikon D3400. Plugged into a Blackmagic encoder card. Everyone wonders, like, how do you do that? Then they ask me questions. Where did you get one for $100? It's called Broken. That's where I got it, on eBay.
Does the HDMI out work? Okay.
That was pretty much it. He's like, but what about the lens? I used one from my D80 from a decade ago. So yeah. That's it, beautiful people. Do we got some feedback?
We got a little bit of feedback.
We do. Pedro, teeny tiny little bit of feedback.
Tell the people where they can get a hold of us.
You can get a hold of us by running down the street and try and catch us as we run away to maintain our social distancing.
You can meet us at the Raspberry Pi store.
Well, outside the Grand Central, but yes. You can absolutely try and find us in person, although with the whole lockdown thing, at least here in the UK, might be a bit difficult. So, best way to get in touch with us, go to leafsgamecast.com, hit the contact button, fill out the form. Select LWDW on the show box so that we will get your feedback and it won't be misconstrued as a little bit of hate mail for that Saturday show. What we do.
Dude, I made the mistake. This is something I just updated it on our YouTube, because, you know, YouTube has a thing for like business inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it where it just said, use the contact form at, let's see. I'm like, this is not a valid email address. Now I had to weigh the options. Like, do I need to make that one? Because I will. YouTube.
It will resolve.
Yeah, I can spool that email account up real quick. But I was like, okay, let's just put it to show in case somebody just immediately that afternoon. Pedro, we have a company that wants us to review a conference microphone.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Those little octagon ones you put in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
Imagine that, but like a cost reduced version that you would find on AliExpress.
Oh boy. No.
Yeah. Is it like the controller person that wanted us to review the controller?
It's a thing of beauty. Maybe we'll pull that up next week. But Matt wrote in using our forums, and he's like, yo, check this out, you crazy kids. The Android remote. Hey, peeps of LGC. Been a long time and rather silent watcher. All right.
Our favorite.
Thank you for the content. I enjoy it. Not everyone's like you, Pedro. Not everyone sits outside in the bushes and watches. I came across the Android OBS remote control app called Outfield today, and I thought of old man Vin.
Old man Vin.
It's missing an N. Anyways, I hope you guys find it of interest and hopefully of value. Well.
It's developed by another Matt.
Yeah. It's Matt's all the way down, baby. This is Matthew. But this is like a week old. Matt, thanks for sharing your project. So this is an Android app. It's using WebSockets OBS, a modified version of WebSockets OBS Java.
Nice.
And it's available on Android. So, okay. That's the thing. Go check it out. There's your plug. See?
Yeah. Yeah. It is right now very limited functionality, but it does show you.
100% on that. Use the website that I've led you to where you can set up all your menus and stuff like that and use the tablet. That's just an easier way to do it. But hey, man, maybe in the future that will become...
If that becomes a pre-baked application and just lets you basically create all the same hooks that you can with the current version, yeah.
Yeah, great job.
But right now, it's... Just bare bones. It works. It shows you the preview of the current scene.
Pedro,
it starts,
I can't hear you over
streaming
my stream deck.
Recording.
What?
Your stream deck, yeah.
These are tiny little things. I didn't realize this is the big one.
They're stupidly expensive.
Yes. Also, they're a pain to get working in Linux. Nobody tells you that. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's going to do it. We need to roll out of here. And on the way out, we're going to thank everyone in the credits. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. Do we have credits?
Aw. Thanks again, Linux Skinneroo, for Manifold Garden.
Thanks, Steve. I mean Toy Maker Whoever on YouTube. Yes. I like how Steve's going around commenting on videos that Jill's on. He's like, it's not me, you guys.
It's totally not Jill using Steve's account or anything.
It probably is Jill.
No. Oh, look at all those sea monsters. My brother, Dementor. Death Notes.
And the Death Notes.
Purple
and
people
cheerlings.
Eaters.
Yeah, I like the purple people eaters.
And they're clearly made out of sucrose.
Well, they actually... That's one thing I never realized about that song. It's actually about eating purple people.
That's right. Tie-dyed Smurfs, baby.